Okay, wait a minute. I'll give you Charlie on rewrite. Take it on number four, Charlie.
Hello? Yeah, go ahead. Uh-huh. 20? Is that 2-0? Uh-huh. Workshop, huh? Yeah, Columbia Workshop. Yeah. Wait a minute. You're going too fast. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. That Lovejoy. D for Dan, O, R, E for Edward, right? Dory, huh?
Yeah.
S, C, H, A, R, Y, yeah. Unpublished, huh?
Yeah.
Lovejoy, got that. Wolfson, yeah. Anyway, what's that? Graham or Bram? Oh, B-R, okay. You want me to read that back? Columbia Workshop presents number 20 of 26 by Corwin, The Human Angle. A new radio play written and directed by Norman Corwin based on an unpublished short story by Dory Sherry and featuring, wait a minute, Frank Lovejoy, Martin Wolfson, Jerry Macy, Everett Sloan, and Horace Fram. Okay? All right. Take it easy, kid.
Hey, Nolan! Come here a second, will you?
Joe, tell Berliner to have a photographer down to Hearing Wednesday.
You bet.
Put that in the future book. Give this back a run. He's way overwritten. You don't need that much. You say it all in three paragraphs.
Okay.
What's on your mind, boss?
Tom, they're sending a diver down tomorrow to see if they can recover some of that gold off the Holden.
What's the hurry? It only went down Tuesday.
Well, Bragdon phoned in from New London, said the weather looked so favorable, they're going to move fast.
Who's they?
Ship owners. They've commissioned the Acme salvaging outfit to go after the bullion.
20 million is a lot of nickels, all right.
Wouldn't mind going after it myself. Now, look, there ought to be a stack of good angles on this. For example, try to find out how much dough Acme gets for the job. Is it a flat fee or a percentage of the gold recovered or what?
I get it.
And what makes them send up to Portsmouth or Wheels Lassiter? Aren't there any good divers around New York? Why is he picked out of the field?
Good.
Also, see if you can find out what's in it for Lassiter. Not as though they were trying to save the crew of a submarine. This is a business proposition involving plenty of risk.
Then you want to know how much of a cut Lassiter gets.
Now, catching on. Also, why do they call him Wheels? Bragdon tells me that they had to double the ante before they could even begin to talk to Lassiter. Turn them down three dimes. Find out why.
Okay. What else?
Well, what kind of home life does Lassiter live?
Oh, come on, Bruce. You're kidding.
What do you mean, kidding?
You don't really want me to go into that stuff, do you?
Why not?
Well, 207 people dead on that ship and 20 million bucks down there in a strongbox somewhere, and an investigation started to find out the cause of the explosion. You want me to look up what kind of a home life Lassiter has?
Sure I do. Right now, Lassiter's the story, not the ship. That's why I'm sending you. If I want any dope on the investigation, I'll ask Hartshorn in Washington for it, not you.
Okay, boss, I was only...
Well, now get the human angle on Lassiter and whatever other divers they send down with him. I should have told you before you'll be working alone on this job because only Bragdon knows about it from the Acme people. I don't want any curiosity seekers around the salvage operation. In return for exclusive coverage protection, I promised them I wouldn't release anything until there's a break in the story. Then we'll run all your feature stuff at once.
Righto. Now, when do I leave?
There'll be a plane from LaGuardia at 7.
Okay. I'll phone you when I get something.
Oh, one thing more, Tom.
Yeah, what, boss?
Don't get drunk again.
Oh, now, wait a minute, boy.
Now, I like you, Tom, and you're a good reporter and a swell guy. But I told the old man when I took you back the last time that one more drunken assignment from you and you're absolutely through.
Sure, that's fair enough.
I'm serious, Tom.
Well, so am I.
Okay. Goodbye, kid.
Bye. Phone you tomorrow night.
City desk. Who's calling, please? Now, wait a minute. I'll see if he's in.
Hiya. Mind if I sit down?
Why should I mind? It's a free country, ain't it?
I hope so. Have a free beer?
Don't mind if I do.
Couple of beers, Jake.
Yeah. You a reporter?
Yeah, how did you know?
I can tell.
Not from the kind you see in the movies, I hope.
I can tell from the way you go about asking things.
Hey,
yacht, Skipper.
Thank you.
You ain't buying me this here because you like my look. What is it you want to ask me?
Well, do you know Wheels Lassiter?
Sure. Worked on the Delhaven and the Valencia jobs with him.
What kind of a guy is he?
He's all right. Funny kind of a guy.
How funny?
Well, he's superstitious, for one thing.
Gets hunches.
Uh-huh. Take on the Valencia. He got a hunch he was going to get in trouble. He wanted to pass up the job, but they coaxed him into it.
And what happened?
Everything went fine to the last day, and then he was attacked by a blue fin and near lost his life.
Blue fin?
Shark.
Well, that must have been in southern water.
It was.
Well, no sharks up here. Why did he balk at this job?
I don't know. He just don't feel right about it somehow.
Then why is he doing it?
His family's got to eat, don't they?
How much do you suppose he gets for a job like this?
I don't know. Why don't you ask him yourself? There he is, just sitting down at the bar there.
Okay, thanks. I think I will. Hiya.
Hello.
How's it going?
How's what going?
The job. The Holden job.
Haven't been down yet.
Expect a pretty tough job, do they?
What do you think?
What's a job like this worth to the company, Lassiter?
Who wants to know?
Well, I do.
You're pretty nosy, aren't you?
No, I wouldn't say so. I'm just a reporter trying to do a job.
Well, I'm just a diver trying to do a job. You keep your dirty nose out of it.
Here's your drink, Wheel. Hey, don't you want your drink?
I guess I insulted him. What's the matter with that guy?
Hanged if I know. Yeah, but he's always been kind of unsociable. You know, I think he reads too much.
Reads too much? Too much what?
Oh, queer stuff. Shakespeare and the Bible and poems and stuff. All kinds of wheels going around in his head. That's why we call him Wheel.
Is he really a good diver?
Best in the business for a job like this, where they have to work fast while the weather's good.
Fast man, huh?
Terrific. He'll probably have the job done in four tides.
Well, I hope so. I'm going out with the tender in the morning.
Yeah?
Yep.
Well, he'll probably get located first tide and dynamite second tide.
Oh, the first trip's the exploratory one, eh?
No, the exploding's done later.
Oh, I see.
What are you having to drink, Mike?
Just keep mine down to beer.
Okay.
Hello, Lassiter. Oh, what's the matter with this phone? Hello, Lassiter. Yeah. We're pulling you up the rest of the way now. You okay?
What'd she say?
She says coming up. Only 10 feet more now.
It's all decompressed, isn't it?
Yeah.
That was a fast ascent for a depth of 105 feet, wasn't it, Mr. Grady?
Well, he was only down for 15 minutes. It doesn't take so long to get decompressed when you haven't been down long.
Why did he ask to come up so soon?
That's what I like to know. He won't talk on the phone. Must be in trouble.
Wheels has always been the most temperamental guy in the business. Maybe he don't like the way you've been talking to him on the phone, Grady.
Well, he better like it. He's getting paid enough. If he comes up for some fat-headed foolish reason, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind to get here back in New London. Well, this good weather ain't going to last forever. And there's 20 million bucks sitting down there.
There he is now. Okay, haul aboard.
Okay. Now take off the helmet. There. Not a lot to say. You're as pale as a ghost.
I'm not well.
Get the bends, kid?
No. Not the bends. Get me out of the dress.
What do you mean you're not so well? You were okay when you went down, wasn't you?
Yeah. I got sick down there.
The guy been diving as long as you don't get sick down there. You've been twice as deep and ain't got sick. What's wrong?
Get me out of this dress. Get me out, that's all.
What's wrong, kid? Your stomach?
I'm not diving anymore today.
Not diving? What do you mean, not diving? What do you think we're paying you for? What do we got all this equipment out here for? I like that. What the heck are we running here, a diving school?
Hey, get off the line, will you? I'm using this line. Oh, hello, boss. Somebody's always butting in on the line. Yeah, that's better. Well, so I tried to get something out of Lassiter, but he won't open up. What? I can't hear you. Yes, he said he wanted some rest. He's going down again in the morning. There's something awful fishy about this. Well, he acted scared more than anything else. Well, he wouldn't say. Sure, well, before he asked to be pulled up, he reported on the phone that she was lying on her keel, starboard side resting against the rock formation. There's a big hole on that side, but the port side is clean. Yeah. Now, no work with a torch yet. A what? Oh, you can hear the piano. Well, I'm down in a cafe at the waterfront. Most of the boys hang out here. Now, don't worry. I'm strictly on the wagon. Yeah, okay. I'll go out on the supply ship tomorrow. Bye, boss.
Lassiter! Lassiter! I can't hear you!
What?
What? What's up?
I don't know. He sounds as if he's talking to himself down there.
He's shouting, what about CO2?
How far down is it?
Well, on the deck, I guess. Over 100.
Here, Jones, you listen to these headphones. See if you can make any sense out of it.
Okay. I don't hear nothing. Yes, I do. He's saying, don't know. I'll try. I don't know.
Talk to him.
Hey, Lassiter. Wheels, Lassiter. Hey, he's answering me. How's it going?
What'd he say?
Well, you've been down 31 minutes now. Better come up.
Let me talk to him.
Hey,
Lassiter, what have you been doing down there all this time? Have you got through to the strong room yet?
No? Are you crazy or something?
It's pretty irregular, isn't it, Jones?
Oh, with Lassiter, you never know what to expect.
Williams!
Lassiter! Lassiter!
Oh, he's mumbling again. Start the winch and haul him up.
Haul away!
Oh, he's yelling at me now. Wants me to leave him down 5 more minutes.
He's bad. Must have really got him in a noggin this time.
Keep on hauling him up.
How long will it take?
Well, he's been down 32 minutes. It'd take about 28, 29 minutes to decompress him on the way up. We haul him up from 105 to 60 feet without stopping. Then we leave him for 4 minutes to 60 feet. Then another 20 feet to 40, and then we leave him there for 8 minutes. When we get him up to 20 feet below the surface, he stays there for 13 minutes.
He gets the bends if he comes up any faster, is that it?
Yeah. You see, on the way
yes,
down...
Yes, I ordered you up. I'm still running this job, Lassiter, and you're ruining it. What? Never mind. I'll tell you when you're up.
Yeah, you see, on the way down, the extra pressure of the air, which you have to have in order to keep the pressure of the water from crushing it, well, this air pressure gets into your hole inside.
I see.
It's like as if you was a soda bottle being charged with air. Your blood soaks up the air.
Saturates?
Yeah. And then as long as you stay down, with your air supply giving you constant pressure, you're all right. But if you come up too fast, why, this gas that's been absorbed into your bloodstream, that bubbles off, see? Just like soda water when you open the stopper of the bottle. Understand?
And what does that do?
What does that do? Why, bubbles in your blood can paralyze you, kill you, even make you blind. Blood vessels can bust. If one breaks in your brain, you're a goner.
Oh, not for me, this one.
Well, some of the boys get punch drunk after a while. Matter of fact, that's what I think is the trouble with Lassiter.
I understand he does a lot of reading.
Well, don't that prove it?
Well, not to me, no.
Oh. You a reading fella, too?
Somewhat.
Well, be another 26 minutes now.
Okay, cut pump. Give us a hand here with a helmet.
I have to get that off.
Wheels, what in the name of...
I gotta talk to you right away before I get the dress off. I gotta tell you something.
There's nothing you can't tell me right here on deck.
Listen, Grady. Something's down there.
There's a ship down there and some gold on it.
No!
You can't hit.
There's more than that, Grady.
Well... All right, Wheels. Come in the cab.
Poor Lassiter. Must have bubbles all over his brain.
You think so?
No question about it. Never heard a diver talk like that. I've been in the business 17 years.
Yeah, but he seems perfectly normal to me. Why, when he...
That's enough!
Grady.
Don't! Lassiter's fire!
Grady, now listen.
No, I've had enough. Wire Tom Harrison, San Diego, to fly out tomorrow. We'll be lucky if we can get here while the weather's still good.
Grady, I'm telling you that you...
Get ashore, Wales, you slap happy. Get ashore.
What's the story, Mr. Grady?
Nothing. Don't bother me.
Why are you firing Lassiter?
Don't bother me, Nolan. It was never my idea to have you snooping around out here anyway.
Yeah, but now that I'm here, I can write about what goes on, can't I?
Not as far as I'm concerned.
Well, then I'll find out from Lassiter.
Fat luck you'll find out from him.
Well, we'll see about that. Lassiter, why have you been fired?
Get out of my way.
Oh, it's a big mystery, huh? You won't tell me either.
Get out of my way!
All right. Don't get tough.
Well, leave him alone, Nolan. They're both pretty upset.
Listen, Grady. If you have an ounce of sense left in you...
Shut up! I'm going to talk about sense. Get it all right, Dada.
Something very strange about the whole business, Jones.
You're telling me.
I'm going to get this story out of Lassiter if it's the last thing I do. Where does he stay in town?
I'd leave it alone if I was you. At the Seahorse.
I'm going to get me a couple of bottles of scotch and loosen him up.
Well, good luck to you, matey.
Here you are. Have another drink.
Why aren't you drinking?
Oh, I'm drinking, all right. Look.
You've been trying to make me tell you why I got fired. You've been trying to get me drunk enough to tell you.
Well, I wouldn't put it that way.
Sit down. I'll tell you. But you got to print it. And quick.
Go ahead, Will.
Grady thinks I'm crazy.
I know he does.
Believe me, Nolan.
What is it?
I wish I could do something for him.
For who? Grady?
No, not Grady. Let's have a little more scotch in there. Nolan, I suppose diving's a queer game for a fella who used to be a farmer. I've done plenty of big games, Nolan. Some I'll never forget.
Must be pretty dangerous risk.
Nah, it's not the risk. When something goes wrong with a line or the air pressure fails, the water pressure just kills a diver in no time. His whole body gets rammed into his helmet. But that's a diver's life. And those are the chances he takes. It's not those things. It's the things you see. Once in the Delhaven, let's forget about that.
Was it that bad?
Yeah, it was bad. But it was nothing compared to this thing. Those were only dead bodies.
Well, what? What is this?
That poor guy is driving me crazy. They'll murder him.
Murder who, Lester?
I'll tell you from the beginning. And you'll see why it's important to print it right away. The first day I went down, I spotted the holding from about 25 feet before I hit it. It was a sunny day, you remember, and the light was good.
Yes, sir.
I aimed my torch, and I could see a lot of it. She was lying there, almost as though she were in dry dock. I never saw any wreck like that. It seemed a dirty trick that a neat ship like the Holden should be down below. For a minute, it seemed as though she were sailing and coming at me through a fog. But it didn't seem that way when I landed on the deck and saw two bodies caught in one of the watertight doors. Well, I walked along the deck, carefully, because you never know what's liable to give under you and drop you lower and possibly foul your lines. And if your airline breaks, you're jelly.
No kidding.
Well, after a while, I climbed down the port side. It was still clean. When I came alongside A deck, I figured I'd better start looking for a spot to place the dynamite. I aimed my torch at one of the portholes. And I saw a face looking out at me.
A dead face?
No.
No?
He motioned with his hand. Me to come closer. That was when I pulled for the lift.
I'm taking a drink, if you don't mind.
I figured I was going crazy. That happens sometimes. Guy gets to dreaming all kinds of things after years on the bottom. Well, I was so shaken, so convinced I was going crazy that I came up right away. I didn't even want to speak to Grady.
Yes, I remember how you acted.
The uncanny part of it was I felt in my bones that something dreadful was going to happen to me on this job.
Go on, Lester.
I didn't go down again that day. Just said I was sick. All night I kept telling myself I was washed up, falling to pieces. But by morning I was ready to go back on the job. If there was a man alive down there, it was up to me to save him. The first thing I did was to go right to that porthole. I put my light in it. And there he was. His head was wrapped for warmth. His face covered with a dirty-looking beard. I got a hold of myself and moved in close to the porthole and put my helmet against the glass. You see, by touching helmets, two divers can talk underwater. Vibrations in one helmet can be heard in the other. I figured vibrations would communicate through the glass, too. And I was right. And then began the strangest conversation I ever hoped to have on this earth. He said his name was Gene Mundy. He'd been taking care of Cleveland, the banker who developed a case of pneumonia on board. And there was a whole stack of oxygen tanks stored in the pantry of the suite. That's where he was. Part of the time I was talking to him, Grady kept shouting at me through the phone. I concentrated on making myself understood to Mundy on the other side of that glass.
How are you keeping the water off?
Watertight door. Oxygen pressure from tank.
How long will the oxygen last?
70 hours. Is there any hope?
I don't know. I'll try.
What? I can't hear you.
I don't know. I'll try.
And I came up and told Grady. That was when we went into the cabin. I no sooner made the bare statement of Mundy's being alive down there when Grady blew up and told me I was bats. He wouldn't believe me. Naturally, that old fear started in again. Maybe I was going crazy. Maybe that was all my imagination.
You mean not even now you're sure of it?
I might even now have some doubt of it, except for one thing. This clipping. It's the list of missing passengers.
Let me see it. Mundy, Gene, physician attending Archie Cleveland.
Well, Nolan, unless I'm stark raving crazy, there's a man alive on A deck in the holding 100 feet down the water. And he's got just another day to live before his oxygen gives out. Nobody will believe me because they think I'm punch drunk.
By God, they'll believe me.
Then do something and do it quick. Tom Harrison is flying in from the coast right now, and he'll be out there tomorrow to blow up that wreck. It'll take him the morning to place the charge, and they'll blast it by the middle of the afternoon.
Listen, I'm going to fly to New York tonight. I'll be there in 45 minutes. I'll get the editor to wire at me. I'll get action.
Good boy. Make it quick.
Meanwhile, you stand by, Lassiter, for a phone call.
Man alive at the bottom of the ocean, and he's been there for 6 days?
Yes. You expect me to believe that, Nolan?
You're drunk early for Christmas.
But you've got to believe it, boss. You've just got to. Listen, Lassiter swears.
Oh, you drunken idiot. Get out of here. You're fired.
Fired? Boss, I'm not drunk.
Go on. You're reeking with it.
Well, I drank a little because I wanted to get Lassiter drunk enough to talk.
Clear out, Nolan, before I have you thrown out.
Well, come on now. I'm a busy man. You're true. And this time it's for...
Really, I appreciate you giving us the crack at this story, but if your own paper won't print it, you can be sure we won't.
But this isn't a case of who prints what. There's a human being alive.
Oh, you're a good writer, Nolan, when you're sober. Many a time we wish we had you on our staff.
But not tonight, thank you.
Well, Nolan, I'll tell you why. Three reasons. Number one, the Navy can't let you have a diving bell because the nearest one is in Virginia. Number two, you couldn't get it in the month of Good Fridays. Number three, you're abusing my friendship with his drunken gag.
But listen, Commander, will you, if you'll just phone the Sea Lion
at... You already said Acme was handling this salvage job, and they usually know what they're doing.
Listen, you rat, you've got to believe me.
Throw him out, Lieutenant.
All right, now, quickly, come on, let's...
I know, Nolan. I appreciate your motive and all that. But I've been in this game long enough
to... So have I, Grady. Can't you take my word?
Now, boys, we've got work to do. Nolan, I let you come aboard this morning because I seen you were taken in by Wheels of Story. But believe me, kid, there's nothing to it.
Nothing to it because you want to salvage in a hurry and don't want any interference. I guess maybe a human life isn't worth a commission on $20 million.
Now, that's enough. We're ready to blast. If you two...
Oh,
guys...
except for blast!
Okay. Let her go.
Don't blast! Stay off that plunger!
You're murdering a man!
Don't do it!
Okay, Harrison. You can go down again and let me know how she looks now. I'll send Field and Coleman down when you need them.
Aye. I did my best, didn't I, Nolan?
Yeah. Well, Grady, I hope you find your gold.
I hope you find your senses.
Jones, I'll ask you. Are we crazy or what? Could there have been a man down there or not?
Nobody will ever know.
You have been listening to the Columbia Workshops presentation of The Human Angle, written and directed by Norman Corwin as number 20 of the current cycle, 26 by Corwin. The play is based on an unpublished short story by Dory Sherry. Tom Nolan was played by Frank Lovejoy, Lasseter by Martin Wolfson, Grady by Jerry Macy, the editor by Horace Braham, and Jones by Everett Sloan. Others in the cast were Eddie Mayhoff, James Van Dyke, Eric Burrows, and Norman Ober. The workshop thanks John and Robert Sweeney for their technical assistance on deep sea diving. Sound effects were done by Ray Kramer and James Rogan. McDonald Nyan was the engineer. Next week at this same time, the Columbia Workshop will return with number 21 of 26 by Corwin, an astronomical half hour entitled Good Heavens, and prepared in collaboration with the Yerkes Observatory of Williams Bay, Wisconsin, as the workshop's tribute to the 50th anniversary celebration of the University of Chicago. In response to many requests for repeat performances of plays heard during 26 by Corwin, the workshop will devote one of the remaining six broadcasts in this cycle to an encore of the program receiving the greatest number of requests within the next week. Selection will be made from the following titles, which have been most frequently called for to date: Radio Prima, The People Yes, Appointment, The Odyssey of Runyon Jones, Soliloquy to Balance the Budget, Between Americans, Descent of the Gods, Samson, Esther, Job, Mary and the Fairy, and The Anatomy of Sound. All requests should be addressed to the Columbia Workshop, CBS, 485 Madison Avenue, New York City. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.